Jen Nancy, if somebody gives you a gift, what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you. And what does that mean? It means you have received something.
Yes.
So gratitude is a symbol of reception. Gratitude is the saying thank you is the energetic symbol of reception. So when you're saying thank you, you are giving a signal to the universe to give you more events and things in your life to be thankful for. Just say thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my friends. I'm thankful today for Nancy for allowing me being a guest on her podcast. For simple things. Thank you that I have food. Thank you that I am in a position to help others. Simple thing. Thank you just for my health, just for your health. Born and raised in the motherland, chasing a better life, story of an immigrant. Concrete pastures. Concrete pastures.
Concrete pastures.
Hello, family. You are listening to Concrete Pastures Podcast. I am Nancy Mlemwasisi. Being an immigrant has been one of the most challenging and extraordinary experiences of my life. It inspired me to create a space that allows for myself and others to share our stories as we deconstruct the world's view of immigrant status. We unlock the joys, the laughs, and the bravery that being a dreamer brings. So subscribe and stay a while as we dive into today's episode. Our guest today is a three-time TEDx speaker, international speaker, and is here today to unbox our potential. His name is Dr. Akuma Sinyingok. He is a Cameroonian-born German author, international speaker, teacher, mentor, and entrepreneur. Professionally known for assisting entrepreneurs in shaping their lives by bridging science and personal development. He also serves as an author of various published books available on the internet. He has been featured on many podcasts and is a TEDx speaker with talks in Dusseldorf, Berlin, and Hamburg. He has also been featured among the 100 most influential Africans in Germany for his social, economic, and philanthropic activities in Germany and Cameroon. Welcome, Doctor. How are you?
Thank you, Nancy, for this long and nice introduction. I am pleased and honored to be on your show. I got to know you through the nomination that you announced in the beginning. I said, okay, let me check it out. And I was very amazed and happy for the good work you are doing. And I reached out to you.
Wow, and now we are talking. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the quick response. I'm just here today to learn and be inspired by the work that you've been doing. And just doing my research, going through what you've been doing for our communities, whether it's in Africa or even in Germany. I'm just here to be a sponge, and I'm sure for the rest of our listeners and watchers, they are interested to actually learn from you. But before we start, you're from Cameroon, our first guest from Cameroon. I'm so excited to learn a little bit of Cameroon. How was it growing up in Cameroon before you? You're joining us from Germany.
Correct.
So how was it growing up in Cameroon?
Growing up in Cameroon, a bit of history to Cameroon for our listeners. Cameroon is a bilingual country due to colonialism. It was first under the Germans up to the First World War. And then when the Germans lost the war, the English and the French came to the country and then they cut it into two. So I grew up in the part of Cameroon where the English people were under English occupation. So, and then the other part is French speaking. So I grew up in the English speaking part in a town called Bamenda. Yeah, my childhood was quite okay, like any normal African boy or girl. Did my primary school education, secondary school education, high school, and then I decided to come abroad. At the time, there was this wave, I think not only in Cameroon, in many African countries, that many young people wanted to come to go out, and maybe also driven because of the lack of perspective. we face in African countries. There is poverty, there is hardship, there is everything. And those who have the means or who have parents who can support that sending abroad, or some of them have that means, they do by all costs. We see how people are dying in the seas to come to Europe or through Colombia to go to the US. And I think we know that we are in the diaspora, we've seen the two worlds, and we know the difficulties back at home.
Yeah.
And I think it's our moral responsibility to do something to alleviate the situation, the economic situation of our peoples back in the mother continent.
How long have you been in Germany?
For 23 years now.
Oh, nice. How are you liking it? How was it adjusting the first time you came there?
First of all, the cold, the weather. I think that is what many people say, Africans say. I had to adjust to the weather. And then also, just coming from Africa at that time, it was a very interesting experience to be, because Germany is not, nowadays it has changed. That was 20 years ago. It's not like in the US that they have got experience with black people or people of color, as they call it. Yeah, it wasn't that really that you as a black man, you quickly seen, you know, anywhere you go, they know, there is someone different.
Oh, you stand out.
Yeah, you stand out. So it was kind of not a problem for me, but it was kind of a challenging situation to cope with that you are the one that everybody always sees, looks on, that stands out. But with time, it doesn't matter now. Now we are many of us. And even if there are not many of us, there are still some cities here or some villages you go, you are really the only black guy and everybody's looking on you. I think the same thing also back in Africa, in some villages, when a white person comes,
yes,
all the children are coming out and looking at.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I would just be running to the car and like looking, like, oh my God, there's a white person here.
Yeah, it's the same kind of curiosity. Yeah, but it's okay so far. It's been okay.
You are in the works of science and personal development. You've written a few books. One that is actually relevant. I think all of them are relevant, but because the one that I could read, because most of them are all in French, so I'm sure all of them are, you know, relevant. And
in German also, I think. Yeah, I have some. They've been translated, as you said in the introduction. They've been translated in English, French. I wrote them in German, and then got my people, the publishers, do the translations in German, in English, French, Spanish, Portuguese.
Lovely.
Italian, and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was looking, I was like, okay, English. And back your potential.
You English, okay.
So with these days, there's so many talks on the internet everywhere you go, think positive, and your mindset is everything. And me watching your TEDx, that's where I'll start from. Anybody who's watching this, listening, check out the TEDx. It's energized, okay?
The TEDx talk, yeah. The one they should watch, they can begin with the one, The Future of Epigenetics.
The Future of... That's the one I watched. I watched that
one. Okay, good.
That's the one that I was very curious about, because you're combining science and also, I believe, spirituality also in there.
Yes, so correct. Thank you. You tell me due diligence. Yes, correct.
Yeah. So for starters, you know, there's so many people who are going through so much. How can someone truly stay positive and, you know, unboxing that potential? It's very hard for people to stay positive.
That's true, Nancy. And then we'll start with very simple tricks or some tips. I'll answer your question in twofold or in threefold. Let's just start. It's first start with the vocabulary that we use.
Okay.
For example, what you've just done, I also do, but I've stopped it to do that. And it's also a kind of a motivation to our listeners. Our words, you said, it is hard. When we use such words, hard, difficult, indirectly, we are telling our subconscious that it's a no way, it's a no go. We already get defeated before even being started, before getting started. So, what I tell people in my talk is, mind your words, because our words become reality.
Mm-hmm.
Words are just spoken thoughts. So instead of saying, I want to say something is hard, I can say that is a task that is challenging.
Okay.
You know, I think I've accepted the reality that it is something that I will need to work on. But when you say it is challenging, at least there's a certain portion of positivity inside. You know it is doable. It's a challenge, but you know it's doable. So at least it uplifts your emotional well-being. So with words, so first of all, language is important. So you said it is difficult for people to stay positive. I will reframe that, because we want to encourage your listeners how they can stay positive.
Yeah.
We can say, I am working to stay positive. You get the point. Instead of saying it is difficult to stay positive, when we say it is difficult to stay positive, you have already surrendered. It's over. You don't see any possibility of coming out of staying positive. When you say, I am working in staying positive, it gives you energy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So just these two examples about language, vocabulary. And then you said, how do we stay positive? I'm working on staying positive. Okay, there's a difference between blind positivity and optimism. Blind positivity is when people say, I'm positive, I'll do it, I'm doing it. No.
But that's what I'm seeing these days. That's what I think a lot of people see on the internet, because you go on social media, there's this encouragement of just stay positive. There's no realistic. You have to be realistic in the situations that you are in.
Correct. So let's break it down for our listeners.
Yeah.
Blind positivity versus optimism means that you accept your current reality now. You accept what you are going through, but you know there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know the future is bright. But you've accepted, because one thing in life we talk about spirituality is acceptance. Accept the moment. Accept what you are going through now, number one. Number two, harvest the good in it. Because we live in a polar world.
Mm-hmm.
If you see bad in something, it means there's also good. There's also the opposite of it. We have north, south, east, west, short, tall, fat, thin. So if we can see the bad in something we are going through, it means we can also see the good in it. So the first, what I will tell our listeners is, accept what you are going through. It's the reality. Yes, I am in this shit now. Point. Period. No sugarcoating. Number two, what is the good in it? But if we look critically, there is always a good part in a bad thing. Harvest the good in it and throw the rest.
Doctor.
And continue your journey.
Doctor, I'll give you an example. There's so many people that lost jobs during COVID. And how does someone see anything good in that?
Lose their jobs, okay?
Yes, so they've lost their income, they've lost their security. I'm just saying.
Yes, let me answer that question. That's a good question. Thank you for saying that. Losing your job is just an event. It is the interpretation of that event which makes you to be sad or happy. Losing your job, I've got instances of people who lose their jobs pre-COVID, post-COVID, or now. For them, they see it as a salvation. Maybe you are in a job that you long hated, you wanted to go ever since, then thank COVID that COVID has helped you make a decision to go away. Get the point. So it is our interpretation of the events that happen to our lives. That says, things will happen to you. Losing your job is an event that has happened to you, but your response to it is in your hands. So we are coming back to the same thing. If you lose your job, see it as an opportunity for growth. See it as an opportunity to find something. Maybe you were in a job that wasn't fulfilling to you. See it now as an opportunity to do a restart and now better. That is how we say positive. That is how we, when we look at the bright side of things, not forgetting the ugly sides, accept the ugly sides. I don't say no, accept the reality, but you are optimistic. You've accepted the reality, but you know the future is bright. And you start working on that future. You start asking simple questions. What can I do now? As simple as that. What can I do now? I've lost my job, period. Yes. So what? What can I do now? How can I change this situation? Do I call a friend and talk to? Do I go on the internet and research something? Just little steps. Just take baby steps. And bit by bit, the universe has got our back every time. The little steps you take, we call them baby steps, and then the way will be open up to you. You will just see, maybe you are in the supermarket, or you are on the road, or in the bus, or where, or whatever. Somebody can just pop into you and say something, and that's what you've been looking for all the time. That is, I tell people that the how is not our concern, but your why. The how will always be shown unto you, because people always say, but I don't know how to do it. Don't mind about the how, it will be shown unto you. Keep on taking the steps, baby steps. They must not be giant steps, baby steps. As I said, is it to write an email? Just a simple email? One letter? One sentence? Is it to call someone? Maybe you've always wanted to write a book. Take a pen and paper and just write the first line. I want to see if you've already written 3 pages. And you see your book is coming in the making. That is it. Baby steps, because only thinking without action is dead. We must marinate our thoughts with our actions. For example, we are being paid for what we do, for not what we do. If you are employed somewhere, or if you are looking for a job, you say, I am a PhD, I've done masters, blah, blah, blah. When they employ you, they're not employing you for your masters. They're employing you for what you are doing for them. Action. So when people say knowledge is power, that statement, we have to correct it. Knowledge is the potential to power. Knowledge is potential power when we use it. If you have knowledge without using it, then you have no power. In the same thinking, knowing and not doing is equal to not knowing.
Wow, I like that one. Knowing and not doing.
Yeah, I think I got your answer. I give you the answer.
Yeah, no. You did. I'm just digesting exactly what you are actually saying. So, watching the video, there's so much material out there for you. So I wanted to actually really direct a lot of this topic to where our listeners are going to be inspired in what you do. So you did mention what about epigenetics. What is epigenetics?
And epigenetics is the branch in biology, to be concrete again, as your podcast is Concrete Pastures, to be more concrete, it's a sub-branch of genetics. That's why epigenetics. So these are two words, epi and genetics. Epi comes from Greek, correct me, or from Latin, one of these languages, but it means above, epi, just like the epidermis of our skin, above the skin. Epi means above. So epigenetics, so above genetics. That's just a simple definition of it. And what does that mean? You know, we have got our genes, bit of biology, simple. We've got our genes, they are the blueprints, right? Yeah. And then the epi aspect of it, we've got certain kind of I'll call them decoration, some mic, some chemical substances on them, chemical groups, correct, on them. They determine how our genes are being read and not read, how our genes are being activated. I think for those who are listeners who did some biology, they are getting what I'm saying, but I will break it down that everybody understands. So these marks, these chemical groups on our genes, they actually determine our health, if we are in good health or in bad health. And it all begins from our thoughts. You know, what you think, it impresses these chemical groups on our genes. And the level of impression, how it impresses it, it can lead to genes which are going to be activated for you to be happy. If you have a good thought, if someone says, Nancy, you look good today, you have a nice hairstyle, now you're loving. Now you've activated the gene for the happy hormones to be produced in you. Now you're happy. But if I said, Maria, I said, I want to tell you how external factors affect our biology. That is the epigenetic. It means that your environment, right? The outside stimuli that we get in the environment, they affect our biology and if we are healthy or sick. And that also holds true like for eating. That's why they say healthy eating. That is when you eat good food or bad food, those are external stimuli that you take into your system and they will affect these epigenetic marks on your genes, which can lead you to health or to disease. So let me break it down in a very layman's sense. I've said our genes are the blueprints. The blueprints don't build a house. Let's say if you have an architect, he's got a blueprint to build a house, right? Who is building the house? Did the blueprint build the house or is the architect?
Yeah.
It's the architect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give that same blueprint to another architect, another house will come out.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the interpretation. So architect A gets the same blueprint, interprets the way he or she has understood, a house comes out. Architect B takes the same blueprint, interprets the way he or she has understood, comes a different house. And the same goes for architect C, D, and E. And the same thing with us. Our genes are the same. But it is how we manage our genes, how we interpret our genes through external stimuli from the environment determines if we are sick or not. So that's all about the concept of epigenetics. That is, outside influences control your biology. And the good part is it, dear Nancy, we came with our genes. We didn't determine our genes. We were born with these genes.
Yes.
So some people say we are stuck with our genes. That is not really true. That is old biology. That's dogmatism and blah, blah, blah. So I'm also going to get cancer. No, that is when we begin to say that we talk about the use of words. We are reinforcing them and you will get the cancer. You can say, okay, mama had cancer, maybe breast cancer for women, which is hereditary.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say no. But it is how you absorb this information. You can say, okay, yes, mama got... Let me give you a good example about this breast cancer, this gene causing breast cancer. Do you know that more than 50% of women who are carrying these genes, they never get cancer? But why are we only looking at those cases of women who carry these genes that get cancer? We are prone to focus on the negative. We can begin to ask the question that these other 50% of women who are carrying the same genes, which predispose them to get cancer, breast cancer, but why are they not getting cancer? What are they doing? That is epigenetics. How you interpret your environment with your thoughts and how you interact with it, and you can influence your biology, you can influence your genes. It's a very simple message, but very powerful. When we've understood that, you know you are the author of your life. You are not a victim of your genes. It's so important. That's why I've been called to do all these TED Talks, because it's a very simple knowledge, but very empowering.
No, it's
you are the designer of your life. You are the author. You are the architect. You are the everything.
You did give an example of a pregnant woman that blew my mind. You did give an example on your talk. You gave an example of a pregnant woman.
Yes.
It blew my mind as to that child or whatever genes that affects all the children of that child going forward, or whatever emotions, stress that they feel, that they receive for the pregnant woman. I might be mixing it a little bit, but from what I gathered, your well-being today affects your future children or grandchildren?
Yes, it can be transferred. That is, we are now in the domain of transgenerational epigenetics, correct? Yeah.
How?
It can be transferred, but it's not a death sentence. That is why we are doing this discussion, dear Nancy. With this knowledge in mind that we can transfer, because this epigenetic marks, they call it, these chemical groups, they are fixing patterns on our genes, and they can be inherited to the next generation. But with this knowledge now, we can break those patterns so that they don't get over. That's the good thing with epigenetics. With your genes, you will give the same genes.
Okay.
That is, the genes are inherited and not changeable. But the epigenetic part of it, they are inherited and they can be changed. That is a good thing. So, and we have the power over the change. It's also very, very liberating. That is, if we don't want to give some negative threats to our offsprings, let's start to work on it now, on our mindset. Like for example, you've got some families, grandma, with a great-grandmother, if she's still living, grandma, mother and child, they are all always complaining. They're in this complaining modus. They are always seeing the negative. You can't blame this great-grandchild. She or she knows nothing. She or she was born into such a livelihood.
Being an immigrant can be hard. Having been away from my home country for over 20 years has allowed me to experience these hardships firsthand. Throughout my journey, I've had a lot of challenges that were hard to bear. Juggling adjustment to a new country, obtaining my immigration papers, getting married, having children, establishing my career, and finding time for myself. Even though I've always had faith, I also relied on therapy, which gave me the tools to cope with the issues life brought me. My fellow dreamers, let's remove the stigma around therapy and normalize seeking help with today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. Go to betterhelp.com/concretepastures for 10% off your first month of therapy with BetterHelp, and get matched with a therapist who will listen and help in as little as 48 hours.
She knew her great-grandmother as always somebody who is complaining, seeing negative in things. Her grandmother is not also better. The mother is not better. And what do you expect from of this great-grandchild? And that is what she's going to also give this complaining AP mark onto his or her own children too. And they'll keep on getting the cycle. So someone has to break this cycle. And how do you break this cycle? You break the cycle with knowledge, not only with knowledge, but by applying the knowledge. So, dear listeners, if you are listening to us today, if it resonates with you, don't just shake your head, but begin to apply it. It is in the application of knowledge that you bring change, that you rewind, that you redo all these patterns, bit by bit. It is challenging. Don't say it is difficult. Say it is challenging, but it is possible.
So how does one start to stop saying it's difficult, it is challenging, I accept my situation, and start to think positive bit by bit?
How do one start? It's simple. Affirmations. An affirmation is a short sentence filled with positive words, with positive doing words. Let's just say, start saying, like what I do, just say it's possible. just this one sentence. It's possible. Every day you get up in the morning, anytime you think, just say, it's possible. It's possible. And you know what? Our subconscious, the human mind, is so strong. When you just begin to repeat this sentence, it's just a sort of thing, it's possible. You will begin to believe in it. Because, you know, when you tell yourself, what for those who are Christians among us, although I don't belong to a denomination, that's also another aspect that I don't want to go into, but the religion has also got a part in our society. At the same time, religion has also played a role in not making people not to be free. So let's come, there's somewhere in the Bible they say, faith comes from hearing and hearing. Believe. So if you begin to tell yourself, you know, you can not tell yourself a lie that you knew from the beginning that it was a lie, but at the end, you've told yourself this lie, or somebody has told you a lie until you begin to start to believe what he or she is telling you, but anybody knew it's a lie. So we can also trick ourselves into positivity. Just say it's possible. It's possible. And after repeating that over and over, you've impregnated that into your subconscious mind, that you begin to see possibilities. Because that is what you have told yourself, and you believe it. And it's true, it's possible. Just as simple as that. What we are doing now to our listeners is very simple. Just start saying, it's possible. Without any reason, it's possible. That's my first advice or tip. My next tip is, which I use every day, it's so redeeming, I can only share with everybody. And it's so simple. Gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
Being thankful. Also for nothing. Do you know why? There's a trick behind it. Dear Nancy, if somebody gives you a gift, what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you. And what does that mean? It means you have received something.
Yes.
So gratitude is a symbol of reception. Gratitude is a saying thank you is the energetic symbol of reception. So when you're saying thank you are giving a signal to the universe to give you more events and things in your life to be thankful for. Just say thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my friends. I'm thankful today for Nancy for allowing me being a guest on her podcast. For simple things. Thank you that I have food. Thank you that I am in a position to help others. Simple thing, thank you, just for my health, just for your health. Even for those of us, of our counterparts back in Africa that are undergoing some difficult, some challenging situations, but you can still be thankful in those situations. Mm. Because if we always want to do some comparisons, which is also technical, yeah, the word comparison, at times comparison can lead into sadness or into happiness. But if you want to be honest, look at our five fingers. Our five fingers are not the same. It means there will always be people higher and lesser than you. Start to use affirmation. It's possible. It's possible. Every day, every time, every second, when you think of it, just say it's possible. If you have any difficulty in your life, just say it's possible. If your children are serving you, or you are going through some marital difficulties or whatsoever, just say it's possible that there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel. It's possible, and then be grateful. Be thankful. Just say thank you. If you are able to say any prayer in your life, my prayer is thank you. I say thank you 7 times every morning when I get up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just like that. That's my prayer.
Beautiful. Before I actually get into your book, how did you get into this work? Because you are so passionate about it. And it's just, there's so much insight that you have. It's so inspirational. Listening to you here, watching everything else that you've done, and what got you into this work?
How did I get into this work? I get into this work in my personal story. They call it, also it's part of spirituality here. I don't belong to any spirit. Experience. So, but since we depend on how we grew up, I grew up in a Christian setting, mm-hmm. So I can be mentioning the Bible sometimes. So, my path to what I'm doing now is called the path of the cross, the path of suffering. At times, when you've suffered enough and you are tired of suffering, you will begin to find solutions.
Mm.
That is it. That is when you are not I was really uncontented with myself, with my life. At the time, I was working for a big company, doing nice things, flying from here and there. It was a good job, but it wasn't fulfilling for me. I knew I could do better. I knew what I have in me, I can inspire, I can reach more people than what I'm doing for a company to go to 9 to 5. And I think my story is similar to many, to the story of many other, of many people. There was a basic dissatisfaction in me, and that was very painful. I couldn't tolerate it. So I had to ask myself, but what do you want to do now with your life? Because I didn't want to go back to the university to be a full-time academic. Mm-hmm. I went to the industry. It was good, but I didn't want it to just to be working for someone. Yeah. It's a good thing, but for me, I wanted to, because on unboxing your potential, to live your true potential, I am of the opinion that it's true entrepreneurship, because you are creating something.
Yes.
Yeah? You are creating something, you are giving something. Don't get me, those who listen to the shouldn't misunderstand me. Anyway, if you're working for somebody, it's good. You are also giving. But I think entrepreneurs, they have a bigger vision. They have a bigger vision, and if their vision, when their vision materializes, they have a greater impact than just being an employee. In German, exact language. The way the Germans speak,
yeah,
they are very exact people, and that is reflected in their language. For example, the word employer in German is called Arbeitgeber. Mean somebody who is giving you work. Arbeitgeber. And then when you're an employee, the Germans, they are so exact. They are so, I won't say they are correct, but they are so exact people.
To the point.
To the point. No misunderstandings. What's the point? And when they say an employee in German is called Arbeitnehmer. It means you are a receiver of work. And for those Christians among us, they say the Bible loves a cheerful giver, not a cheerful receiver, isn't it? So as an entrepreneur, you create jobs. You are giving. You are in the position of giving, which is a good thing. So I am making a case for entrepreneurship. I am also making a case for us in the diaspora, African diaspora, and back in the mother continent, if we want to alleviate the situation of our people, it is through economic empowerment. It is through business. It shouldn't be through all these charity things we have in Africa, 1,011 charity organizations. That is, when you are doing charity, you are only perpetuating the suffering. You are only perpetuating making people to be dependent. You are only making people to, you are robbing people from their initiative. From their initiative. But if you say we are doing a business, or you should have an opportunity, and then everybody has to bring something on the table. What are you bringing to the table? I am bringing this, you are bringing that. So where do we meet? Where do we meet in the middle and create something? That is how we Africans, we can liberate Africa. From our own minds. I wrote an article somewhere, it is in the internet. I said, our salvation will not come from Washington. It won't come from Berlin or from Brussels. It will either come within us or not at all. And we are capable of doing that through a shift of our mindset. We have said it's possible and everything is possible. I think I digress a bit from what you asked.
No. I have actually a follow-up question for that, because a lot of Africans listen all over the world, and they probably will have the same question that I'm having. We have a lot of poverty in Africa. It's no secret. All over the world, people do, but Africa is it's extreme.
Come again?
We have a lot of poverty in a lot of countries in Africa.
Correct.
And what you are saying is we all have to be entrepreneurs, or instead of these donations that United Nations or whoever is supporting those communities, we have to create businesses. For those individuals that are in poverty, how do we actually even do that? Because there's no education. There's literally nothing. They live... I was watching a documentary, I'll tell you. An amazing woman was recording some documentary somewhere in Zimbabwe. And it was away from the capital city. In rural, all they're sleeping in is just something that's just covering. That's it. So I can't imagine for us creating a business or for you going and asking those women or men, let's create a business for you. How is that possible for it to happen? So,
there are many ways to go about it, Nancy. You can. There are some people living in abject poverty. They are just coping just to feed their children or even just to have a basic meal a day. Yeah.
They had nothing.
Coming with such attitude, with such things that... Yeah, they have nothing done. And coming to say create a business, it can be very... They will look at you as if you are coming from a different planet. But I think it starts somewhere. It starts from where it all begins with the mind. Because believe me, everything is possible. It all begins with the mind. And how do you encourage such a person to do something?
Yes.
How do you encourage a person to do something? You encourage a person to do something in that, let's say, to be more practical in this case, what we can do, because we, those of us who claim, put it quotation
marks. By the way, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of entrepreneurship. I'm all for it. It's just, I know that there's going to be people that are listening and would wonder how we would be able to convince someone to shift their mind and believe that this is possible for me to have a successful business, to have a positive mindset. What type of tools?
It's possible in the sense that, let's say, I was about to say that for those of us who are a bit better place, quotation mark, open and close.
Okay.
It's our responsibility that we do what is in our powers to create opportunities for those back at home. Let's say these jobs. Let's say create a business or whatsoever and then see how to employ people.
Got it. Okay.
So I will take the responsibility. It's not shifting of accountability. Everybody can do something. But for a start, you know, it's kind of a hand-holding. You know, somebody's right down there to start with that person and do a business. It's a bit very abstract. But you can start holding that person's hand bit by bit that he or she comes on. Right? And then the best thing as an entrepreneur, if you like in my company, they say the leader, if you have a good leader, a company is made up of people, leader and its people. But I think you, the leader, you also have a leading position how you lead your people. With the mindset, like in my company, what I am preaching to you now or saying, my people live that because that's what I live. And I tell them also. And I make it clear to you. With simple things, don't come late. Pay attention to your work. Don't make mistakes. Mistakes are allowed, of course, but don't repeat the same mistake.
Yeah.
The first mistake is okay. But the same mistake a second time is not allowable. It's not permissible with me. We are all allowed to make mistakes. It's good. If in my team, if you make every day new mistakes, you are the best employee. It means you're learning. But don't repeat the same mistake. So what we can do is see how we can make connections back at home for our people, create jobs. There are many things to do that those people who are within your circle, you can start to positively influence them.
Mm.
They see how you work. They see how you talk.
Mm-hmm.
They are not stupid. They are seeing that. You are telling them that. Mm-hmm. They are getting part of it. And that's how they will go back to their own families, to their own societies, and it can also impact people. So we have to be the example that we want to see in the world. It all begins with us. Do your own bit. Mother Teresa said, the ocean will be empty without the drop of water. So don't underestimate the little drop that you are. We are mighty drops. So the current question is, we have to start on ourselves. I ask myself the question, what can I do? Because there's a difference in, it's what we call meaningless sympathy. You say, people, they are poor, they have nothing to eat, blah, blah. That doesn't help me anyway. What are you doing to change that situation? That is the question, that is the challenge I am giving to all listeners of this podcast. What are you doing? No matter how little it is, what are you doing? Did I get your question?
Yes. What you're trying to say also is teach people to fish and not give the fish.
Yes, in that direction. Give people opportunities, make them to be aware of what they are capable of. Like also, I think we are all diasporans. You are in the US, I'm in Germany. And I think what I want to say is a similar experience that we all in the diaspora, we have with our people who are back in Africa.
Yes.
All these expectancies that you should always send them money. For example, do this. I won't say don't do that, but do it with reason. Because if somebody always asks you something, you give, they don't know what you're going through here to work that money.
Yeah.
And send them. And they just use some of them, they're not even that grateful of it. They just do it anyhow. They know, I have a sister, I have an aunt, I have a brother or a father who is sending me money every month or every. And that is, with that, we are encouraging them to be lazy. That's an encouragement of laziness. I don't just send money again anyhow back to Africa. It should be something very tangible. And I know that person is not capable of having that money at that moment to do something. If not, as you said, you introduced me, I'm a teacher and a mentor. I'm going to coach you. We'll be writing on WhatsApp or whatsoever medium. I'll ask you basic questions. And then just through my questions, you become aware.
Yeah.
That you will change. That's my policy. And it works. Even if you get angry with me or whatsoever that you've asked me the money I've been giving you, that's your problem. But in your heart of hearts, you know what that guy is saying is true. So it's education. Education. They say, I have some three words. They say, educate, inspire, and change. Something like that, yeah?
Yes.
Educate. Through education, people can inspire, and they will bring change into their own lives. That's my policy, and it works well.
Beautiful. You have mentioned already your company. I was on the website, Khaki Africa.
Correct.
And you provide so many services, and one of it is with funding for companies in Africa and also investors that are looking to invest in Africa as well. Could you just share with us like how that is done? Just so if someone is interested, they are able to sign up for these type of programs.
Correct. And that's also one of our mechanisms that I think we can bring employment and change the livelihood of in Africa. So what we do, we have two basic cards, say Africa, KLC Africa. One of the branches that we control is we on funding. We know in Europe, in America, also in some parts of Africa, let's say in the Western world, they have got different funding mechanisms for their own companies.
Mm-hmm.
No, without money is a fuel for anything. So the governments, they understand that for companies to grow, they need to fund them.
Yes.
So when you fund a company, you give money for research and development. The company uses take that money, brings a new product or a technology to the market. What does that mean? The company makes sales. It sells, it means it pays taxes back to the government. And that's how everyone profits. And a company, when the company is growing, it employs people. So instead of the government paying people for social benefits, they will give you money indirectly to bring something new to the market and employ people. So what we are doing, it's simple. That's just life. Life is a cycle.
Yeah.
Recycling. So what we are doing now is my company, KC Africa, we want to encourage German companies and European companies or companies anywhere in the world that look also look at Africa. Africa is a huge market for you. In Africa, we've got so many problems. But these problems are not negative. These problems are good. These problems are potential, are chances. We've got problems from waste management.
Yes.
You know, problem of energy outage, of traffic. There are so many things, problem of internet, problem of lack of stability of internet. And these problems, we can use technology to solve them. Truth be told, the Europeans or the Americans, we don't have. So why don't we cooperate with them? So my point is that, so the Europeans, the Americans, whatever, the West, they've got these technologies. We don't have them. So the point is, why don't we cooperate with them? In Africa now, we've got so many startups coming out of the ground, which is a good thing. Why don't we, the European companies, or the Western companies, or wherever they are, to cooperate on an eye level, not on a top-down approach, but on an equity approach, to cooperate with our African counterparts to look for solutions, technological solutions, to address the problems that Africa is having. So what we do is to do this matchmaking and also see that they get funding to do these projects.
Nice.
That is the one part. And with that, and when those projects are being done, as I've said, we create jobs. Because for such a project to be done, you have to say, okay, we are going to employ these people, this person and this person to do it. The same goes in Africa. And that's how, look at Africa. We've got so many graduates.
Yes.
Without good they people, good minds. So that is my own way I am giving back. So I'm using that as an encouragement for us in the diaspora. Make use of what you have. We all, if you look into yourself, you've got something to offer, period. Don't tell me anything. I won't listen. You've got something to offer. Make use of your own capabilities. So that's the one part of what we do. Funding for European, German, what kind of company to cooperate with our African counterparts to solve the problems in Africa using technology.
Lovely.
And the long term is to create jobs and to create wealth. It's only when Africans or humans have got economic power can you bring change. Period. All this dependency we have in Africa. In Africa today, if you are, we've got what is called a dependency index. If you are having a good job back at home in Africa, you've got at least 9 people depending on you. At the end of the day, you become poor because you take your salary, everything is gone. You have in your house, even your own children, you can't even take care of them. You have an aunt, a cousin, a this, a la la la. It's poverty. We can change that in giving people jobs. Because if somebody can sustain he or herself, he won't really come to you. So make people to be. I was listening to Nancy. I have a concept that I apply for myself. I call it positive egoism. Egoism must not be negative, as we think. Egoism what means? Thinking of the self. I think of myself in a positive way. What does that mean? Because I want my peace. Right? I want to live with my family in peace, have a nice life. So what do? I empower others around me to do the same so that they shouldn't become dependent on me. I don't want to have aunts, cousins, and uncles coming and pressing me every day. No, I want to be at peace. So what do? I show you the way, I empower you to have your own money. And I've done that even for family and non-family members. And the impact is so good, dear Nancy, because when you do good, you're not only doing good to yourself, you're doing good for everybody, because you've seen that through that empowerment, there are many things that, let me just come to my personal case, in my family situation. There are many family members that I've helped to become, they have stood on their own today. Mm. And the thing is that they are just doing on their own now that if I didn't empower them, that burden could have been on my shoulders. So it's so liberating.
Yeah.
I'm a positive egoist. I want to live my life in peace and enjoyment. So what do? I see that you also do that for yourself and leave me alone. Good, right?
I love it. I just love it. No. We all share the same struggles. We call it Black Tax. And it's amazing how you are empowering everybody, whether it's in Cameroon or different parts of Africa. That's really, really beautiful.
That's what I mean. And then the second part of our business, of my company, KT Africa, that is the funding part, bringing European, German companies to work with our counterparts to solve problems. The other part is just, it's called market entry. That we are calling on everyone looking, listen to this podcast, market entry wherever you are, the company, be them anywhere in the world, because there are many good companies, big or small.
Yeah.
They have known the potential in Africa, but they want to penetrate the African market, but they have no idea, no clue how to do it, which country. There are many questions to answer. So we also guide companies for a successful market entry into Africa.
Wow.
To sell their products, not only to sell their products, but also to create, they call it to create branches. They call it in German production standorte. The translation is production sites, which is a good thing, because when they have created their production sites in, let's say, in a city in Zimbabwe or in Zambia, where you come from, or wherever, they can't employ the people here in Germany, that they are going to employ the locals.
Yeah.
And that is job, which is a good thing. You're creating jobs, and these people, they will earn money, and that's how they are going to impact the local economies. That is the way out of poverty. You put money into people's pocket to spend. Isn't it good? And that is the quintessence of our work. So I encourage everybody to think of what he or she can do to contribute back to society. And what we are doing, it's not only for Africa, it's for the greater good. It's global, because when people all around the world are feeling fine, becoming empowered, everybody's fine.
True. That's true. I've just had a big dose of coffee. I was drinking coffee, but this is nothing. So I feel a big dose of coffee from just this conversation. This is a beautiful, it's super insightful. So what got you to writing Unbox Your Potential? The title just says it all.
Okay, you mean my book?
Yes, Unbox Your Potential.
Let's Unbox Your Potential. In that book, let me go to it. Many of the things that I've said today,
They're in there.
It just means people can grab the book wherever they are. It's on Amazon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the book is on Amazon. You put the name Akuma Sanigon on Book of Potential. This is the book. It's a book which is simply, it is very simply written. Very clean, simple English. No big book. No big grammar. No matter your level of education, whether you are first grade or no grade, you will understand it. It's very simply written. Just pick it up. It just is so inspirational. This is what I've been talking about. There's some parts of spirituality in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some part of science and personal development and just general life things. I can only say for anyone to have a feeling of it is to grab the book and read for yourself. If you are fast, within 1-2 days, you've got it. So it really makes you to be aware, of what you can, of what we are capable of. Because many of us, we are not aware of what we can. Do you know that, let's take the case of a woman, of you women. I think women, they underestimate themselves. They don't know the power which is within them. Let me give you an example. There is a story of a woman. Her child was buried under a car.
Hey.
That woman, she had to save her son. What did she do? She went and grabbed that car and held it and was shouting, help, 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 help. And she uplifted that car so that the child shouldn't be pressed by that car.
Mm-hmm.
I was shouting for about 10 minutes before people could come and take the child out. So the question is, Where did she get that power? Tell me. Under normal circumstances, she would say, oh no, I can't, I can't. But it was in life, it was something of my life, of a death or life. Her precious, precious child. So what I'm giving with this example is that we don't know what is buried within us until we are put to the test.
Yes.
And we must not wait until we are put to the test. We can start living our potential. We can start unboxing our potential now. Why wait to go to such extremes? My point, my message is, know that there is unlimited power within you. Bring it to the surface and share it with mankind. That is why you are here. Share with mankind for the evolution of the universe.
I love it. I receive that. Unlimited power within you. Wow. No, I love this. And for anybody listening, watching, for watching, it's right on the screen. Just click away and buy the book, Find the Power Within You. And for anybody who is listening on the podcast, it's on Amazon. It's quick. The title is Unbox Your Potential. We are all on this earth connected and we all want the best for ourselves. Why not, you know, get the tools that can help us to think positive and to find our potential. Doctor?
Nancy, and just one thing to complete what you have said. Thank you for that.
No.
We are only to help ourselves to improve.
This is your stage. Go ahead.
Yeah. That is good. But the point is that I'm happy to share with our audience is that your success is not only important to you, it is important to everyone. So be successful. Because people also think about themselves. No, yes, I don't deny, but know that your success is not only important to you, it is important to everyone. So you have a mandate to be successful.
No, it's true. I think I heard, I don't know if it's a quote or something, on social media, someone like your success is just to add to what you're saying also, that it's destined for somebody else to be also successful. So they are waiting on you. We've been waiting for this book.
Amen.
And here.
So others can stand on your shoulders when you are no longer there.
Yeah. True.
We are building this framework so that when you've left your body, others should stand on your shoulders. They should see farther than how you saw. Just keep on.
I love it. Wow, this has been so inspirational. It's been an enlightening conversation, to actually say the least. From everything else you've gone through in your life, you've been successful, you've been all over on so many stages. Do you feel you found your concrete pastures at this point?
Do I feel I have found my concrete pastures? Yes. I found my concrete pastures for the two things I'm doing. I have two companies. The one company of this motivational stuff, the DrSanningon.com, and the other company about Africa and Europeans and everybody. I think there is nothing as liberating, as empowering, certain point, when you can help others live their potential.
Yeah.
It's so liberating. When I see people that will have droopy faces, sad, and you know that now they are happy and they are progressing, that you could contribute to that. I think that is no money can pay you for that. And that's why they say we talk of self-help. Sounds a bit negative. It's a question of interpretation. If you go to all these bookshops or whatever, even my book is self-help, which is good. I don't say no. But we should also think about help others. The two should go hand in hand. Help yourself and help others.
Huh.
It's so important. So I think, I feel, and I know I have found my common pastures, helping others to be the better versions of themselves. Yes. In what I do, yes. And I know I haven't arrived. The job has just started. We need every hands on deck. Because when we say we've arrived, that's also the ego coming in. Because the ego has got many heads, like a snake. No. Because when you say you've arrived, when you say you know it all, that is the day you are dead. You're already a dead man. Life is perpetual learning. Be like a child. Always learning, asking questions. There's a concept in Japanese work culture, fight culture. It's called Shoshin. Something which means have the mindset of a child. Not children always asking questions. Mama, papa, what is that? What is that? They're asking to know, to learn. Don't go with the mindset which you know it all. Because if something is already full, then none can enter. Be like an empty bottle. There is no problem being an empty bottle. I always say one of my tips on many people who are successful somewhere, they'll say one of the tips or what I apply, let me talk about myself, is being naive, Nancy. It's a good thing. Because when you are naive, you are susceptible for change. You are susceptible that something new can come into you.
Yes.
Yes, tell me. That's how I go about my life. I always have a pen and paper, writing, taking notes.
Yeah.
Taking notes. I'm not ashamed to ask a question which might sound stupid. At the end of the day, there is no stupid question. There can only be how do you say it? There is no stupid question, there can only be stupid answers. Ask questions. Somebody can ask you a question. It might sound very trivial for you, but for that person, it's not trivial. And then one of my mentors told me one thing. I've never forgotten this thing. What he told me. He told me that something which is normal to you, something which is so obvious to you, does not mean that it is obvious to the other person. That was a game changer.
True.
And that makes you to be humble. That makes you to meet people where they are, and if they are willing, you grab their hand, so they can be where you are. It doesn't mean that you are superior to them. No. There's a saying that be a teacher to those below you, be a student to those above you, and be a fellow companion to those with whom you're on the same level.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is it.
Like I said, this has been enlightening. Oh my God, so much nuggets, so much inspiration, so much to learn. I've learned so much just through this 1 hour we've had. Thank you, Doctor, so much. It's early in the morning for me here. It's now 7:21 in the morning, and I think it's lunchtime for you. I appreciate you spending your lunch with me. Wow. Truly wow. Thank you for inspiring us. This has been an honor, and thank you for agreeing to be on this space. I appreciate you so much.
You are welcome, and thank you also for having me on the show. Thank you for the good work you are doing. Don't underestimate what you are doing. If from your shows, from this talk today, just one person is inspired, is enough. It's big. So as I said, we are not a drop in an ocean. We are an ocean in a drop.
Thank you. There you go again.
Okay, Nancy, it was a pleasure. You are such a dose of inspiration. You are magic.
Oh, thank you.
You're magic.
You too. You're so magic. Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's it for this episode. Thank you again for lending us your ears. It's truly an honor to serve each and every dreamer. You can continue to support us by liking, sharing, and following us on our social media pages. The links are all in the show notes. We have so many exciting projects and ventures in store for you. Until next time, keep dreaming.
Chasing a better life, story of an immigrant. The concrete path.